Holy Family Radio, and the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference now present Catholic Legislative Talk with Al Ganoza.
Hello again, everybody. Al Ganoza here with this week's edition of Catholic Legislative Talk. I'm going to take you to a press conference we had this week where a bill was talked about that would protect unborn children with a diagnosis of possible autism. Here we go. It's a press conference, so the mic was in the background a little bit, but you should be able to pick it up. A lot of good stuff was said.
Way to go, Michaela. You brought that ever-optimistic attitude to share your story. And with that, I would like to introduce our House Speaker, Mike Terzai, who is the prime sponsor with me on the Down Syndrome Protection Act that Michaela was advocating for. Speaker Terzai is one of our tireless advocates here in the House for the unborn. Speaker Terzai.
Hey, thank you much, Kate. Thank you, Chair. Representative Klum, thank you for your courage and your leadership in moving House Bill 321 forward. And thank you to everybody here today in support of the Down Syndrome Protection Act. Now more than ever, babies born with Down syndrome have the opportunity to live long, happy, and productive lives. Life expectancy for folks with Down syndrome has increased dramatically in recent decades. People with Down syndrome are members of the community in which they live and share their gifts and make positive contributions in society every day. The accomplishments and successes of adults with Down syndrome sends a clear message of hope to children also living with Down syndrome. The fact of the matter is, we need to make sure that we protect these individuals who have been diagnosed with Down syndrome from not being aborted, to not be able to have existence, to not be able to enjoy life like every other person who is born. It is an important existential question that we each face. Last year, at a press event, we also had Karen Gaffney, who had received an honorary PhD as our keynote speaker. And here's a very important point that she brought up, and it's much more eloquent than I could ever state. Those of us with Down syndrome and our families face a very difficult future. We face the possibility of wiping out all of the tremendous progress we have made. Just as we are making so much progress, a whole industry has grown up focused on prenatal screening that would end our lives before we take our first breath. Now that you can test for Down syndrome before birth, there are many experts in the medical community that say this extra chromosome we carry around is not compatible with life. And I was there when she said this, and it had this emphasis, not compatible with life. After everything we have done, I would say we are more than compatible. We are what life is all about, and our lives are worth living, and our lives are worth learning about. This is an existential question put forth before policymakers. Who gets to decide what is a good life? I would also intimate to many of you that the founders of the Special Olympics, Eunice and Sergeant Shriver, longtime Democrats, were amongst others who intimated that American society had to relook at what it was doing with abortion, and that it was taking away the dignity from so many, many, many folks that never got to have a life. In Pennsylvania, in the Abortion Control Act to date, there's a prohibition that you cannot have an abortion based on sex selection. The Down Syndrome Protection Act recognizes the equal rights of these individuals who are to be born with or are already born with Down syndrome. And it wants to protect the existence of these individuals.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for those words. Next, I would like to introduce our advocate in the Senate for the Down Syndrome Protection Act, Scott Martin.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here, standing along with my colleagues in the House and the Senate. And, you know, I can remember the disappointment last year. I know and Speaker Terzai and I were in a lot of communication coming down the pipe, but I can't tell you, within days of that session ending, our recommitment to getting right back up on that horse and working together again to get this bill done. And obviously, we're picking up new allies in this. I cannot begin to say what it means to me when I see these faces here who show up time and time again to tell their story. Caden, who dresses better than any of us. If you haven't seen the back of Devin's head, man, he is old. I love it. You know? Why don't you turn around, Devin? Let me see the back of your head. You know? You'll have to do that to me at some point. Michaela, I can tell you how impressed I am to hear you speak. And as bright as that jacket is, let me tell you, your smile and your spirit are a million times brighter.
Thank you.
And Chloe. Chloe certainly is no stranger to being up here at the Capitol, and her work to get Chloe's law passed in 2014 and working with her family. If you have the ability to follow them online as they all work together to take their message to the United Nations and across this country, telling the story of them being everyday people who live their lives no different than you do, than I do, than so many of us do. You hear remarkable stories of things that most of us will never do, like swimming the English Channel. But I think about my friend Kyle, who works at the Home Depot, training other employees on how to give advice on home improvement. I think of some of my constituents who I have at Millersville University who have Down syndrome, who are exploring to get their own college degree. I think of people in the workforce every day to take care of themselves, to live independently. This is beyond just a debate about abortion. I make no mistake about it, as most, a lot of folks on this stage, we're very much in the fight for life in this country and around the world. But this is actually something that's more sinister, and this is a practice of eugenics. And I ask you, no different than years ago when they said you can't look at a picture of a child in the womb, and just because of what its gender is when what you see, and whether or not you want that or not, is going to say that's my cause to get an abortion. And then here come prenatal tests to show what's going on in that womb. So for families can know. Has directly led to 90% of pregnancies with Down syndrome around the world being terminated, wiped out, as if it would be some sort of problem or burden that they will place on the rest of us. I think everybody up here can remember just a year and a half ago, this glowing report from Iceland. How they basically were throwing their flag in the ground saying, we in essence have eradicated Down syndrome. They were exterminating people. What's next? As technology and science advances, as we see people being able to identify genes that are predisposition to cancer, is that what we're gonna take up next? To spare this child of a miserable life and battling cancer? Where does it stop? Predisposition to addiction? Male pattern baldness, height. Is that the kind of society that we want to live in? And I've heard so many arguments of, oh, well, if you were more focused on just wanting to take care of children after they are born, well, let me tell you something, as someone who's worked in that field. A, you can remove the predisposition that every pregnancy results in a birth into a government program. And second, in my time as county commissioner, it was my experience that some of the best funded programs for early intervention or people with developmental disabilities were exactly those programs. But that is not what it's about. It's about their lives. It's about what they mean to these families and what they mean to our world. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. And this movement is growing. It's not going to stop. I, for one, and everyone on this stage will refuse to live in a world where prenatal decisions that lead to eugenic practices are going to be okay. So I want to thank everyone for coming out here today. This obviously is just the kickoff to what we're going to get done and get this push. We're not going to go away. Down syndrome is 100% a life worth living. And to steal a quote from my good friend Chloe, let's embrace, don't erase. Thank you.
Here's your Holy Family Radio Parish Bulletin Board, sponsored by the Diocese of Harrisburg and the Catholic Communications Campaign. If you are hurting after an abortion, consider attending a weekend Rachel's Vineyard Retreat. For information, call 877-HOPE-FOR-ME. That's 877-467-3463. Enjoy a 24-hour silent directed retreat at St. Cyril Spiritual Center, Danville. Or come for an entire weekend of March 8th through the 10th. Retreat director is Luann O'Connell. Call 570-275-0910 for more information. Parents interested in obtaining homeschooling support in the classic Catholic tradition in the Lancaster area can contact Candace at 717-476-4054. The Academy information is at rcahybrid.org. And that's your Holy Family Radio Parish Bulletin Board, sponsored by the Diocese of Harrisburg and the Catholic Communications Campaign.
This is Holy Family Radio Manager Dan Steele. I want to thank you for listening to Holy Family Radio podcasts and broadcasts, whether it's over the air at 720 on your AM dial or online streaming at 720WHYF.com. We appreciate your involvement in Central Pennsylvania's only Catholic radio station. But I must share with you, if we are to keep our ministry growing in the Harrisburg Diocese, we really need your help. We are a totally listener-supported nonprofit 501c3, and I'm asking you to prayerfully consider donating any amount you can to help us continue our work in spreading God's Word. Please go to our website at 720WHYF.com. Click on the donate button and follow the instructions. And thank you for helping to keep us on the air, and may God bless you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And one of the things I try to do as communications director for the PA Catholic Conference is to show the people that make up the Catholic Church, whether it be the kids in schools, the parishioners who work so hard in the various ministries in the church and in the schools, and also I like to show the priests, both current and future. I recently went to St. Patrick's School in Carlisle. Love that place. I enjoyed my visit very much. And I met and talked with two seminarians from Mount St. Mary's Seminary, just over the Pennsylvania border in Maryland. Once a week, they come up from up to St. Pat's to teach. I got a quick profile from each of them. I'm at St. Patrick's School in Carlisle. I have a visiting seminarian from Mount St. Mary's, right?
Yeah.
If you could explain yourself. Introduce yourself and explain your background.
Sure. So my name is Matthew Smith. I've been a seminarian. This is my third year now. I grew up in York, Pennsylvania, which is within the Diocese of Harrisburg. So I'm a seminarian for the Diocese of Harrisburg. I've been to Mount St. Mary's for the past 3 years, but I'm in my first year of theology, which means we do a circuit, an annual assignment of going into elementary schools, Catholic elementary schools, and teaching. So for this school year, I'm here at St. Pat's, and I teach the 8th grade class, and I'm getting them ready for confirmation.
Oh, so how's that been going?
It's been going well, yeah. It's a good group of kids. Almost 30, I think, in that class. We're getting close. I think they get confirmed in May, so they just gave me a list of all their confirmation saints. So I'm going to help them just get to know them better and preparing for life in the church with the fullness of the sacraments. So,
I grew up Catholic, and when I was young, I considered being a priest. So just out of curiosity, when did you start thinking about becoming a priest, and how did that develop?
Sure. The earliest I remember thinking about it was when I was a young kid. I was probably in third grade. Just started altar serving, and at my home parish, which is St. Pat's in York, which had a really joyful, sort of vibrant priest. His name was Father Miller. He's in Littlestown now. But I just saw his example as being one that was desirable for my own life. He made being a priest look awesome, just how he prayed for the people and was there for the people. I loved being more involved in the Mass, altar serving. So I was very drawn into the sacraments. I wanted that to be a more important part of my life. That desire sort of stayed with me as I grew older, but I wasn't quite too sure about it. So I actually waited until I graduated college to apply for the seminary. So I got my degree in May from Mount St. Mary's University, and then I applied to the Diocese of Harrisburg, where I grew up, and was accepted in June of that same year, and then went back to Mount St. Mary's Seminary. So
what? How many more years you have yet, and where are you going to be going after that? Do you know at this point?
I'll be within the diocese, so anywhere from like Lancaster County to Franklin County, and then up north, like around Berwick, sort of coal region is where the diocese stops in that direction. But yeah, I don't know parish-wise yet. Every summer we get a summer assignment. So I've been to Mount Carmel, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Mount Carmel, and then I'll get another summer assignment this year. So they see where we sort of best fit within the diocese each summer, and then after my priesthood ordination, they'll tell me where I'm going. So we don't find out until right before we're ordained a priest, and that's when Bishop Gaynor will tell us. So.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you.
All right, I'm at St. Patrick's School in Carlisle with a seminarian out of Mount St. Mary's.
That's right.
If you could introduce yourself and give a little bit of your background.
Yeah, my name is Brian Eisenbarger. I'm actually from the Diocese of Fort Wayne South Bend in Indiana. There's a little school there called Notre Dame, folks might have heard of. And our bishop there used to be the bishop of Harrisburg right here, Bishop Kevin Rhodes. So we do have a connection here to Harrisburg.
Did you go to Notre Dame?
I did not go to Notre Dame. I actually went to school in Fort Wayne at the University of St. Francis.
Oh, yeah.
But I am definitely a Notre Dame football fan by birthright.
Good, so, me too.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. You win. All right. Not that it was any competition.
Right.
When did you start wondering about becoming a priest?
Yeah, ever since I was a little kid, kind of like Matt said, I always thought about I altar served. I thought there was something really cool about that. And I actually was fortunate I had priests in my family, so I had a great uncle who was a priest, I have a cousin who's a priest, so I thought about it always as a little kid, and then of course, as time went on, I began to notice girls, and I thought about getting married, and I was actually engaged to get married at one point in time, and it all kind of came to a realization for me that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, and in John chapter 6, Jesus says, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life within you, but he who eats my body and drinks my blood lives for eternal life." And all of a sudden I had this realization that in order to have the Eucharist, in order to have the body and blood of Christ, you have to have a priest to say Mass. And so while I kind of gave up the opportunity to be a biological father, I can be a real spiritual father and give people the opportunity for eternal life. And ever since that all kind of took place, I've been in seminary and I couldn't be happier. So it's been wonderful.
How is it working with kids coming up here to St. Pat's?
St. Pat's has been wonderful. The principal here is fantastic.
I've heard that.
She's wonderful. Pastor's been great. And teachers here have been great to work with. But most importantly, the kids, they're a lot of fun. We have lunch with them. I teach the sixth grade here, which has been wonderful. I have them in the afternoon, so it's right after the lunch kind of lull. So it's always kind of entertaining to try to get them acclimated to reality again. But no, it's been a lot of fun.
Any inclinations to where you want to start out as a priest around the area? Or?
Yeah, so I'll be back in Fort Wayne South Bend when I get ordained.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'll be back in Fort Wayne South Bend, and much like Matt, I'll be assigned somewhere in the diocese. So I could be anywhere up by Notre Dame all the way down to south of Fort Wayne. So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Very impressed with both young men and their commitment and what led them into considering a role in the priesthood. And we could definitely use them. Thanks, guys. And what a treat it was while I was down there. I also got a chance to talk with the principal of St. Pat's, Antoinette Oliverio. She took me on a guided tour. We got a chance to meet a lot of kids. I put that on my Facebook page in case you want to take a look at that. Really enjoy that. And we sat down for a quick interview about St. Pat's, and it sounds like things are going very well at the school.
Antoinette Oliverio, principal at St. Patrick's School. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you haven't been here that long?
Nope, just this is my second year here.
And you were a teacher before this?
Yes, I was here at St. Patrick's.
Oh,
yes.
You were.
Yeah. I did 7th and 8th grade English, junior high.
How do you like it being a principal?
I love it. I love it because I can see all the kids all the time. I love interacting with the three-year-olds as well as the middle school. I love being with the teachers, interacting with the teachers and parents. So it's just a win-win. It's great. It's been a great experience. I'm learning a lot. A lot to learn, I'm sure. But it's been so far so good.
Now, I went on a tour and I'm amazed at what you have here. And
thank you.
I know that helps because I know as a Catholic school, and my kids went to Catholic school, it's always a battle, isn't it?
It is. It's a huge battle. Finances is always a battle. Trying to keep up with the public school who has, sometimes it seems, unending funds, which I know they don't, but we certainly are limited with that. But, you know, I think the gift we have is the teachers here are dedicated and they want to be here and they're passionate about their careers and their jobs and they're passionate about Catholic education and their kids, and that's it. That makes the school, we're able to do it with their passion, and it works quite well.
And you said enrollment has been good here.
It has. It's been very good. We actually increased our enrollment by 40 students from last year to this year.
Wow.
So yeah, I think people need structure. They're craving it, and we provide that structure. We provide that discipline. We have small class sizes with 315 students here, so they have a lot of that one-on-one. But I have to go back to the teachers who are so passionate about being here, because they don't make as much money as they could in the public sector, but they just love their jobs, and you see it, and parents see it, and they want that. They want that for their kids. So we're doing very well. I'm very, very excited, and I have a lot of support from our pastor and the teachers, and that makes a beautiful combination for growth.
If somebody listening out there and they want to help, is there a way the community can help, like through contributions, if they would contribute or not?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Always. We never say no to contributions. Yes, we have actually, we have a large percentage of our students on scholarship, and that's from the goodness of the people on the outside who value Catholic education and want to help. So we have little things and we have big things. We have annual funds that we reach out to the parish and to our parents, and annual fund is just basic giving. We have fun things like we have a color run. It's actually Finnegan's Fun Run, which is like a color run. And we raise money for technology, and people can sponsor students to run. We have many different types of scholarships for needy, if you want to give for the needy, like the St. Drexel scholarships. We actually do a lot with the EITC funds.
I was just going to ask you about it. So that comes into play here.
Oh, yes, big time. My development director, Lisa Maddox, is huge in reaching out to companies as well as families for the EITC money. That has been glorious for us. It has helped us a lot. We've helped a lot of needy families through that. That is really great. That has been, I'm so impressed with that, because many states don't do that.
No.
And Pennsylvania does. And I'm not originally from Pennsylvania. I'm originally from Maryland, D.C. area. And my family's floored that we have that opportunity to provide for our students through our tax monies. So
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I'm always up in Harrisburg, and a lot of legislators are fighting for that. And that's something that's near and dear to a lot of hearts up there. It's
absolutely
good to hear those words.
I always say I want them to come visit the school, and I want to tell stories about how we have changed lives through those tax dollars. Honest to God, changed people's lives, because we've given them the opportunity to be in our school and to grow with Christ, and to be in a smaller atmosphere with teachers that have a little more time. And if they witness that, anyone that has any questions about those state dollars, it would change their minds. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I felt so good in here. Whenever I go to a Catholic school and I see the kids, it just warms my heart. And that was the case today.
Yeah.
You have a great group.
Good. I'm so glad that you could see it, because I see it every day. It brings a smile to my face every day. I just love it. And I think you notice that as you walk through the halls, everybody seems happy. And
Oh, yeah.
And it's nice to have someone from the outside witness that. That's great.
Thank you, Antoinette.
All right. Thank you, Al.
Thanks again to Antoinette Oliverio, principal of St. Pat's. What a great principal. Very passionate about what she does. Just has a charisma about her. Loves the school. Loves the kids. Makes it fun. Kids are having a good time. I had a good time. I hated to leave. Always like visiting the Catholic schools. And it's good to hear about and see a Catholic school where the enrollment is holding steady or going up. Because these schools, they do have a battle. And as you heard, if you want to contribute, please do. You could be helping a kid, a family, a couple kids, making the difference in them getting in the education their family wants and not getting it. And thank you to everybody for joining us for another half hour of Catholic Legislative Talk. Hope you have a great one. I'm Al Ganoza.
You've been listening to Catholic Legislative Talk with Al Ganoza, a service of the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference and Holy Family Radio.